President Obama continues to tout his all-of-the-above energy policy, and that would include biofuels. Farmers in Michigan and around the country are watching closely, as are environmentalists. Are biofuels a positive part of our renewable energy solution, or is it something that's going to further harm our environment? Good morning, I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. Our guest this morning is Dr. John DiCicco, and Dr. DiCicco holds a joint appointment as research professor at the University of Michigan Energy Institute and professor of practice at the School of Natural Resources and Environment. Good morning, Doctor, and thank you for being here.
Good morning, David. Great to be here.
Well, let's start and see if we can't perhaps at least partially define a premise for the conversation. In your estimation, are biofuels a part of the energy solution, or are they a part of the environmental problem?
Unfortunately, for the time being, they're much more of a problem than they are a solution. They really only make sense at this point under very limited circumstances. And, you know, the way I guess I could sum that up is saying, well, you know, the grease car guys have got it right. If you're using a waste product that would otherwise be
such as cooking oils.
Exactly, things like that. And then you capture that, process it into a fuel. That's unquestionably good for the environment, provided you do it in a clean way and don't make a mess in the process. But the basic premise there is a sound one, scientifically speaking.
But as an agricultural institution moving forward, it's not necessarily a great idea.
No, that's where the real problem was. The premise of biofuels is, hey, plants take carbon out of the air. And so if we capture that from plant matter, from corn, from soybeans, or people hope for switchgrass or something like that, and process it and then turn that into fuel, burn it in our cars, it kind of evens out. You know, the basic notion was that biofuels are carbon neutral. What was forgotten is that to grow that biomass of whatever form it takes, takes land, takes water, takes nutrients. And good quality land is finite in this world.
And will become more and more difficult to come by.
Well, it is. And what's happened is because the scale of our fuel use is so vast that when you begin to divert agricultural commodities into the fuels market, it has an inevitable ripple effect. Take corn, which is the main way we make ethanol here, or even, you know, in Brazil, sugarcane. They make it from sugarcane. That corn, that sugarcane, soybeans going into a soy-based biodiesel, all those agricultural commodities have other uses. And in a growing world, a hungry world, on the margins globally, where that additional land is coming from, not directly for corn, but through a kind of a ripple effect, is tropical forest. And what happens then is that for the amount of carbon that, say, you know, gets taken out of the air and recycled in a biofuel, almost 10 times as much can get lost through deforestation.
So the science was just wrong. Well-intentioned, but wrong.
That's right. It was incomplete is the way I like to look at it. In other words, the basic idea that it recycles carbon was not incorrect. That's arithmetically true. It's just not the whole story.
Certainly, there seems to be a great deal of political support for investing in biofuels as part of the national energy policy. And from both sides of the aisle, by the way, which is rare these days. Is this, in your estimation, a matter of political expediency, or is it just much like the science itself, well-intentioned but kind of misguided?
I think it's the latter. You know, biofuels are one of those things that, you know, it's like a silver bullet. Let's rely on the Midwest instead of the Mideast for our fuel. You know, all of that from the environmental piece was premised on this unfortunately simplistic notion that you can use land and the crops that grow on them to recycle carbon without having any bad side effects. And unfortunately, the side effects are much worse than
people calculate. And those side
effects
tend to expand outward. I assume it would also not only create an air and a land issue, but a water quality issue and an impact on our ecosystems and wildlife as well.
That's right, David. In fact, at University of Michigan down the road here at the School of Natural Resources and Environment where I teach, we had a team of students look at some of the impacts of biofuels expansion on wildlife in the Midwest, and it wasn't a pretty picture.
Well, is there existing research that shows we may one day be able to minimize the adverse environmental impacts of biofuels enough to make it a part of our energy future?
Not really. Not in my estimation. If you step back from the problem and say, whoa, we were thinking about this wrong, we didn't factor in the land use implications of growing crops to turn into fuel, and you say, well, okay, this recycling carbon notion that we have isn't really the right way to think about it. How should we think about it? You have to go back to basic chemistry. And you know, when you burn a gallon of biofuel, ethanol instead of gasoline, biodiesel instead of regular diesel, the amount of CO2 that comes out the tailpipe is identical. That's just chemistry. I mean, they're the same liquid or almost, they're very similar. That's right. Why they can substitute for one another. So instead of latching on to this incomplete notion that biofuels recycle carbon, what we need to do when we think about the issue is latch on to this equally true fact of chemistry that the amount that comes out the tailpipe is identical. So if there's a benefit to biofuels, it's not when they're burned, literally.
Right.
What you look at then are some solutions that people aren't necessarily thinking about now. A good example that is actually relevant to the Midwest, and it has to be done properly, is what is known as carbon dioxide enhanced oil recovery, where you take CO2 that you get from power plants or somewhere
right.
else, and you shove it into the ground to squeeze more oil out of an old oil well. And when you do that well, and you have to do it carefully, it's like you could think of it almost as fracking in reverse, and that could create problems. So you have to do it carefully. You can offset perhaps 30% of the CO2 coming out of the tailpipe that way. And advanced technologies for doing that could be even larger. Another thing, if you think, well, plants take carbon out of the air. Well, if the issue is keeping carbon out of the air more than is getting put back in, if you're using plants for that, the question becomes, well, let's stop right there. Let's regrow forests and take carbon out that way. And the potential for that is actually very vast as well.
If you had the authority, based on your scientific research and analysis, if you had the authority to make a firm policy decision on biofuels and have it implemented today, what would that be?
Well, you know, I wouldn't pick on biofuels. I would pick on petroleum. Because what's gone on with biofuels is we said, okay, we're going to substitute biofuels for oil. And that's not working out very well. I would say, let's limit the carbon that the oil and gas industry is allowed to send through the system on a net basis. And if we put that kind of limit on, I bet you're going to see them ramping up CO2 enhanced oil recovery, and yeah, we'll have to do that safely. I'll bet you'll see them saying, oh, let's give money to protect forests to offset the carbon and get some, you know, legitimate credits. People are working on how do you verify and certify that you're truly protecting forests or regrowing forests, but people are working on that. So I think that's where I would start. And then as far as biofuels, waste products, if that can get worked out economically, that'll be fine. Like I said, the grease car guys have about got it right. And then let's see what happens. Maybe algae or something that doesn't use land will work out, but those are still pretty exotic, but we shouldn't cloud our vision by sort of looking at some imaginary world over the hill when there's really good steps we can take now to offset the emissions that come from our use of liquid fuels.
That is Dr. John DiCicco. He holds a joint appointment as research professor at the University of Michigan Energy Institute and professor of practice at the School of Natural Resources and Environment. I'm David Fair, and this has been another installment of Issues of the Environment, a cooperative effort of the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division and the News Department at 89.1 WEMU.